What's going on, guys? Hopefully you all can hear me loud and clear. This is the Slice of Anime Life podcast. We're coming back with a brand new episode. We are super excited. It's a short little milestone, but we're glad to bring this new episode back to you guys. I'm super ecstatic to do that. Today, we got a decent amount of stuff we're going to go over. We're going to talk a little bit about rom-com anime. We're going to talk a little bit about new genres. We have a couple new shows we've been watching on Netflix. I just recently watched a new Studio Ghibli movie, which I'm excited to share my thoughts on. And then I think we're going to finish the episode with some back and forth dialogue on some of the new animes we've been watching. So I'm excited. It's going to be a really chill day.
Yeah, pretty chill. We're going to talk, like Andrew said, about some rom-coms that we've been watching recently. There's a couple on Netflix that I was watching. Like Andrew said, he's been watching some new movies and some new shows as well. We'll kind of go through that. First off, I know Andrew kind of mentioned it a little bit. I just want to say thank you guys for listening to us. If you have been, we've been reaching or really close to reaching a little over 200 all-time listeners, which is not crazy. You know, I would love to have 200 plus listeners per episode, but we've had about 200 all-time listeners, which is amazing. This is going to be our 10th episode, which is going to be a milestone for us. You know, when we first started in July, you know, it was very interesting for us specifically because we weren't really sure how it was going to work, right? We weren't really sure how many people would enjoy this, how many people would love the same things we love. And ultimately, we kind of just on a whim said, hey, let's make this podcast. So for you guys sticking with us through 10 episodes, maybe you have listened to all 10, we really want to appreciate you guys. And we hope you keep listening and hopefully we can get to 100 episodes and maybe 250 episodes. Who knows? But we're going to try to keep pushing.
And I think it was a spur of the moment thing. I had always wanted to have an anime podcast. I wasn't sure if Dallas was going to be able to do it with me just because he hadn't seen as much anime as me. But again, he's been watching a lot over the summer. We decided to just take the leap of faith and go through with it. And I'm really, really excited we've done that. We're going to continue to get new people on the podcast. We're going to continue with new interviews. We're going to try to continue to find cool and interesting things to talk about, whether that be the One Piece live action, whether that be new shows, whether that be new releases. We will figure it out and we will make sure that if you come and watch that we will be entertaining and you'll want to stay and listen to some more. So really, really excited. On a whim, we just decided to do it in July, and I'm glad we've made it through 10 episodes and to many more.
Yeah. So let's kind of start out here just talking a little bit about what we were going to, I guess, the topic of today's episode was going to be. So as of lately, I've been kind of looking for some new shows to watch. I haven't really been super crazy into rom-com shows. You know, I wouldn't even really consider Beastars like a rom-com. It's something that I've watched in the past, which I know Beastars has a lot of controversy about its fans and other things, but I am excited actually for the third season or the second part of it when it comes out soon. I think leaving it on a cliffhanger like we did was amazing. It's one of my favorite Netflix shows, even though it does have some conspiracy around it. But yeah, one recent show that I started watching just a couple weeks ago, or even just last week that I really enjoyed. I just kind of was searching through Netflix, trying to find a show. I really didn't really care too much about the show. I didn't have any backstory about picking out a show. I just was looking. And I picked out a show that I liked called The Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity. It's kind of an interesting show, basically about two, a young couple, you could say, specifically, in which they're kind of not forbidden from seeing each other, but they both go to different places. They both kind of socialize with different groups. It kind of has a very much of a connection with kind of capitalism.
Know that it's not the norm. They know that it's not the norm to be around each other because of their affiliations. One goes to one school that's an all-girls school, and then Rintaro, I believe is the guy's name, right?
Rintaro, yeah.
He goes to what you maybe could call an all boys school. The schools don't get along. It's not like the people from each of the schools hang out together. They really, really are standoffish and don't like each other that much.
Right.
And so it definitely starts out with a good divide of all girls school versus the all boys school. the friends of each other don't want them to date or them to see each other. And it's very, very interesting so far.
I think, like, for me specifically as a teacher, you know, like, I can see, I guess, the perspective of, like, students per se, maybe, that from different walks of life. You know, as a teacher, I have students that are from poor backgrounds. I have students that are rich, you know, they're something along those lines, right? Basically, this kind of show explains, like, that two people from different backgrounds shouldn't be friends or shouldn't be together, whatever the case might be, okay? And ultimately, I like how this show kind of breaks that to be, you know, especially maybe in Japanese culture, this might be an actually a daily thing where people really, because of, I guess, the wealth that they have or where they go to school, whether it's a public school versus a private school, people are treated differently. You know, just the other day I was teaching history in my history class, my world history class, and we talked about specifically Buddhism and Hinduism and so forth, and I brought up essentially this Indian caste system in which people get treated differently based on how they're born, because karma essentially allows them to be born in a new body in which kind of shows their past life. For example, if they're born into a slave body in the Indian caste system, they would be considered to have had a bad past life because the karma caught up with them, if that makes sense. So in a similar way, people are kind of stereotyped based on how much money they make. Obviously, people in America, maybe even Japan, are stereotyped based on those things too. And ultimately, these people are not supposed to socialize with each other. So this show kind of breaks the mold to be like, you can be any type of person and connect with any type of person. And yeah. I think that that's good about the show.
No, I completely agree. I think it's important to, you know, watch shows like this that show maybe a divide, whether it be culturally or a divide, whether it be by economics, like you were talking about, and see people just come together and enjoy life and enjoy company of others. And it's definitely a really cute show, a very sweet show. Yeah. It has this really, really some great moments between the two main characters, I'll say. And again, I am glad you watched it and are starting it and put me onto it. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It reminds me of some of the early rom-coms I watched back in 2019 when we were just getting out of high school. There were some rom-com or romance animes I started watching. One kind of sounded familiar or was somewhat close. It was called Orisuki. It is a pretty decent anime, somewhat similar to this show. It has some comedy, it has some fun, it has some cool dynamics, and the one thing that made it similar was just the with dignity, it made me want to laugh a little bit.
Yeah,
there was a couple moments where I really wanted to laugh, and I think that's always good with romance shows, is that it needs a little bit of comedy. Even right. Sometimes in Studio Ghibli, when we watched The Wind Rises and we talked about it, The Wind Rises isn't supposed to be funny. And in all honesty, I can't necessarily pick up a bunch of different moments from that movie where I was supposed to laugh, but I know for sure that I had smiled. Right. And I was very happy in a lot of the moments. And if I'm able to smile and be happy and maybe laugh a little bit,
right. It's kind of like similar in the sense of, like, when you're watching Black Clover or you're watching One Piece, you might be, like, in the middle of a fight scene in which you've been really looking forward to. Maybe the fight, in Wano, or maybe a Big Mom fight, whatever the case might be. You'd be watching the anime and just be really focused on, oh, this is going to be so great because the fighting is amazing. You know, like you said, you're, like, kind of expecting and waiting. You know, you're maybe not cringing, but you're being like, oof. This is going to be so amazing, this fight. It's kind of the same way, like, with the smiling, you know? If you watch, like, a sweet... Like, me and Andrew both love heartfelt movies. My favorite movie, and I think Andrew's favorite movie, is Life of Pi. It's a movie that I just enjoy so much, and it's a heartfelt story. You know, I love rom-coms like The Water for Elephants and The Notebook. And, you know, that sounds maybe kind of... whatever, a stereotypical, maybe more feminine or whatever, but I enjoy those movies. You know, I like kind of smiling when I'm watching a show. I like feeling some sort of emotion towards a show, and I think kind of watching this show reminded me of maybe like me and my wife in our early stages of just like meeting each other, and you know, it's kind of that type of show, and I really kind of enjoyed it. in that way.
Yeah, it also kind of reminded me a little bit of Young Love. I mean, if it was a different genre, say it was a little bit of action or fantasy, maybe it would have a vibe similar to like Sword Art Online, or
right.
Could maybe have a similar connection between like Yu Yu Hakusho with Yusuke, and I'm blanking on what's her face's name, his not girlfriend in the show, but like his connection. I normally am good with these with names, but for some reason hers is blanking for me. But each of these characters has a dynamic where it's very sweet, but it also is very caring. They really do care about each other, regardless of if they're quote unquote in love. They still care about each other, and that's something that is easily seen in these episodes, as well as like Attack on Titan with Eren and Mikasa. Like, you know, they obviously aren't together. They obviously aren't in a crazy big relationship, but they have a relationship, right? They are connected by their background. They are connected by their story. They are connected because they truly do care about each other.
Right.
And even in something like a new show like this Dignity on Netflix, like you can see the connection within the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
And again, it's very sweet. It's a very nice show.
It's Kiko.
Kiko. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like I said to Andrew at the beginning,
or
like
Keiko.
It's Keiko. Yeah. My bad. But yeah, I mean, like I didn't pick them. I literally was just scrolling and literally just said, oh, this looks sort of interesting. I'll try it. Cause I've been just trying to find a new anime to like throw to Andrew and say, hey, I finally found an anime that you should watch, instead of him telling me, cause it's usually him telling me. And I kind of was like, I'll watch this. I didn't really watch it cause I love, rom-coms, or I love what I just had like a lot of different shows, and ultimately I liked Beastars, so when I started watching it, it kind of reminded me a little bit like it. Obviously try not to spoil too much, but without the animal kind of perspective and the killings and everything, kind of had that similar vibe to me, and I just kind of got hooked to watching the first couple episodes, and I'm like, Andrew, you gotta watch this, it's pretty good, honestly. But yeah, Andrew was telling me a little bit about some other other shows in which kind of are connected, and we can kind of start talking about that now. But if you get a chance to go on Netflix, the new episode of the Fragrant Flowers Bloom with Dignity came out yesterday, the newest episode in dub. I think you might be able to watch it on, it's not Crunchyroll. I believe in Japan you can watch all 13 episodes, but for right now there's only 5 episodes out in English or in Japanese on Netflix. So if you're watching on Netflix, give it a try. It's a pretty great show. So you want to take it from here?
Truthfully, there's so many good animes that I think I have on my list that you definitely should watch that I think would be so great to talk about on the podcast. Obviously, I'm not going to go through all of them right now, but I think that it's good that we can kind of talk back and forth and maybe sling some anime towards each other that we can talk about on the podcast and enjoy, because I have tons, and I promise there's tons of shows that I have seen that I wish you would have watched with me so that we could maybe have talked about them more. Because obviously I know rom-com's not your favorite thing. It's not really.
I mean, I do like it, but
There is a lot of rom-com or fantasy or action or any of these type shows that you should watch. And as I'm scrolling through all my list of shows, like a couple definitely stick out to me as some that you should see. First and foremost, I know the one I really want you to watch is Death Note.
Right.
I'll definitely have to give it a obviously try. That's one that I think you would really enjoy, because I know you like psycho thrillers. I know you like a lot of crazy happenings in the shows, and Death Note is one of those things. It's right on the note with being crazy. Another really, really fun show that you need to watch is One Punch Man.
Yeah.
It's a great show, one we can talk about with Gabe. Vinland Saga, I know you said you were going to watch it, but it's great. You should definitely see it.
Yeah.
And then off the top of my head, if I scroll down, there's a couple others. I think two more that really, really stick out to me. ReZero, really, really cool. That's one I actually want to rewatch because I haven't seen all the the new episodes, but definitely one I want to see. And then another one that kind of sticks out to me, the last one I'll share, is the one I had sent a picture to you. Or I have two more real quick. I gotcha. Sent a picture to you. It's called Inuyashiki, The Last Hero.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it.
That's the one I want us to watch. That's the one I really want us to watch because there's like mentions of One Piece. There's mentions of other anime and manga in there. And it's really, really funny. And it's also very crazy. The last one I wanted to share was Ping Pong, the animation.
Huh.
Possibly top 10 animes I've ever seen. It has a very unique animation style. Pretty sure it's not that long, and it's just great. Definitely worth it. And it's a sports anime. So something that I think both you and I would like a lot. Okay. I would totally be down to watch it again because it was amazing.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to give it a chance for sure.
That one is one of the most unique animation styles ever, though, that I've seen.
Right.
It's very unique. A lot of hand drawing, a lot of randomness. It's very, very unique, but it's great. It's so good.
Okay, cool. So what was this? You watched specifically a new Studio Ghibli, you said, Princess Mononoke? Or not Mononoke.
Mononoke. Who's Mononoke?
He's from One Piece.
Mononoke is from One Piece.
What is it called? Princess what?
Princess Mononoke. It's the same, I guess, similar.
Princess Mononoke.
Prince Mononoke.
Yeah.
Princess Mononoke. I did end up watching it. It's a new Studio Ghibli to me. It's not necessarily new. I think it came out in 1993 or came out in the 90s. Maybe it even came out in 1999. So it's been out since I was born. It's older than me. Right. But it's a great movie. I watched it with my fiance. We had a really good movie night. We ate some popcorn. We put it on. It was kind of long. It was about 2 hours. It was great. It, of course, was a Studio Ghibli movie, which I'm always going to enjoy because the animation is great. It's all hand-drawn. It's beautiful. It's colorful. This one was a little bit darker. Definitely the first PG-13 Studio Ghibli movie I've seen. There was a lot of action, a little bit more than normal. There was a decent amount of blood. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but it was a little bit more crazy than general than I've seen. But I really, really liked it. I thought the story was great. Some of the voice actors in this movie were Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
And oh my goodness, I'm blanking on a couple of the other people, but there were some pretty good voices, some good voice actors. Some of which, like Billy Bob Thornton, stuck out to me a little bit more because he's more of a household name, regardless if you think he's a good actor or not. I guess you could say he's more of a household name.
Right.
And the other actors were not as well known, but they were still great. I really enjoyed it. And definitely one of it that I think you should watch. You should be able to go to your local library to watch it or even
they have it on HBO Max, and, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely worth it. If I could rank it with all the other Studio Ghiblis, I probably would still put Howl's Moving Castle and Spirited Away and Ponyo and a couple of the other movies ahead of it. But it still was a beautiful movie. It was great. In fact, there were a couple moments that I really, really enjoyed. There was some large god-like animals, such as large wolves, large boars, some of which that were like incredibly strong and had a really good backstory and was very, very cool.
Awesome.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Just kind of moving on, I guess, from this, because we're not going to probably have nearly as long of a podcast today for the most part. I mean, it might be a little bit, it might be like 30 minutes, but it's not going to be nearly an hour or something like that. So I guess we'll kind of move on here. Specifically, I guess we can talk a little bit more about Beastars, talking about Beastars. I remember when you kind of got me into it, right? It was a while back, probably around 2021.
I think you even had joked with me saying it was dumb, and I told you, you know what, like, a lot of people can say that anime is kind of silly and that certain shows are kind of dumb, and even at first, before I even started Beastars, I had thought that it was a little... not sketchy, but just a little bit like strange of a show. obviously it had a similar vibe to Zootopia, only there was like a little bit of more romance and there was a lot of extra stuff going on. And yeah. Like, of course, it was different, but I really enjoyed it because of the animation style. That's yeah. what drew it, had it get drawn to me. I really, really liked the sometimes 2D, sometimes 3D. I mean, it's practically 3D animation the entire time, but sometimes they have some yeah. 2D animation going on. And I truly, truly enjoyed it because it just felt different. Sometimes yeah. it felt like the characters were a little blocky, but I think it really worked nice.
Yeah.
Some other animes that do something similar is Dorohedoro, which I've talked about on the show before. There are some other shows that have a similar way of going of doing things, similar to that. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I had a couple that were like that. What was the other one? I don't know if it was The Detective Is Already Dead, but there's a couple other animes that do the same thing. It's more of a 3D first, 3D focused anime, right. which is cool.
No, I think that kind of like separated it from a lot of other animes I've seen, right? No, at first, I guess I did say, I remember you tried talking to me about it, saying, hey, you should watch this kind of Beastars thing. I'm like, oh, I've really watched a ton of anime anyways. I'd watched One Piece, Black Clover, a couple other animes, but I haven't like hadn't been too much into it. And I'm like, eh, it kind of looks weird, you know, obviously with kind of talking about furries and all that. Like, it was kind of a new thing back then. And I'm like, this just seems weird, you know, it's like a cult furry like show or something, which I kind of, I guess, got a little bit turned off by that. But that being said, I kind of gave it a chance and just said, you know what, I'll watch it, just because it seemed cool. You know, I didn't really have a lot to watch. And honestly, like, I remember we were watching on a trip when we were with our choir, and I remember Andrew said, we're going to watch the first episode of Beastars in the hotel room. And I remember just being like, wow, okay, now the show actually is good. You know, like, hooked me right away, and I've just kind of wanted to watch and have watched every single episode since then. And it's honestly one of my favorite, it's probably in my top 10, maybe even top 5 favorite shows, which I know is probably controversial, but I just really like the show a lot, to be honest. I like the romantic themes of it. Obviously, sometimes it can kind of break the boundaries of being a little inappropriate, or the themes aren't really the best. But otherwise, I think it's a pretty solid overall show, in my opinion.
No, I mean, I think it's great. I think the main reason I liked it so much was not only just that animation style, but I do think that the voice actors do an incredible job. I think the story is very well written. Apparently, I think the manga is even better or pretty dang good, too. I know it's in a different style, obviously, a completely right. different style. But like I said, I'm happy for how far it's come, and I am very excited for the newest season and to see how that ends up, because I have forced myself not to get spoiled on how the show right. ends.
Right.
And I've really tried hard to not be spoiled, because it is a show that I care for. I already get spoiled enough when it comes to some One Piece stuff, because right. I'm on a lot of One Piece groups on Facebook and other apps. Like, I get spoiled from One Piece constantly. And again, some of the spoiling's great because I get to see new forms of people, like the elders. I already got spoiled what they look like. And yeah, it's just, I'm really trying to stay away from any spoilers on certain shows that I really, really enjoy, just because I don't want to end up, not wanting to watch it. 'Cause that's generally what happens. A lot of the times I'll be watching a show. One example is I was watching Assassination Classroom. I was really enjoying it up until episode 25, which is like halfway through the whole show. I was already halfway through. And then I basically get spoiled on TikTok or Instagram or somewhere of the ending of the whole show, what all happens. And yes, I kind of figured that would be the ending, and I'm not going to spoil too much, but I already kind of figured what the ending was going to be. And in reality, it just kind of turned me off from wanting to finish the rest of the show. And so sure. I kind of took a step back and decided I was not going to do that anymore.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I do that all the, sometimes that's happened to me, maybe not with anime, but with other shows, like maybe some more reality TV, for example, like The Bachelor or something. If I get spoiled, or AGT, for example, if I get spoiled who won or who did this, it's like, like, why, you know, I'll get spoiled. Who wins Jeopardy or who wins whatever? So it just kind of is a bummer. So I completely get it. I guess one reason, I guess I think I connected the flagrant or the flagrant, the dignity or the fragrant flower blooms, the dignity to Beastars a little bit is kind of this connection of two people, or this romantic connection or friendship connection of two people, essentially, that are two direct opposites. You have Legacy and Haru, who is a bunny rabbit and a wolf. You know, they're not supposed to be together. One's a carnivore, one's an omnivore, or a vegetarian or whatever, and you basically have this kind of interest between the two in which they care for each other. Herbivore, yeah, they care for each other, but they're not really supposed to be seen with each other, they're not really supposed to be together. It's kind of the same situation with the flower blooms with dignity. You have someone who's maybe taller, and he's kind of a person who's not the best. He doesn't have the best rap sheet, you know, maybe he gets in trouble at times. He's in a public school, you know, versus a short statured girl from an elite, I guess, school who's supposed to be really smart, and they're just two opposites that shouldn't be together. It's just kind of an interesting story of people trying to just, I don't know, have some sort of connection, even though they come from different walks of life, which I enjoy.
You know what? With you just saying that, it also makes me understand another reason why I love One Piece so much and animes like that, is because when Luffy's building up his Straw Hats, similar to how you were talking with Beastars, like, he's trying to make sure he doesn't pick the norm.
Yeah,
he's okay with picking people who are not liked as much. One example, Jinbei, Fishman. I mean, celestial dragons make fun of the fishmen already and treat them like garbage.
Right.
The whole country doesn't even really treat them as actual people, and they believe that they're just fish,
right,
or just a nobody. Yes, Jinbei is very powerful. He is known to be probably the most powerful of the fishmen, if not up there. And he's not treated fairly. I mean, freaking Frankie is a robot, or a
cyborg.
He's part robot. He's a cyborg. We have Brook, who is a literal skeleton because of his devil fruit. We have Chopper, who, of course, is treated fairly poorly by most people he meets because they think he's either a pet, they think he's either
raccoon.
He's either a raccoon, or they think he's just like a mascot for the Straw Hats, right? They don't even treat him with respect. And I think the one thing I do love about Straw Hats and Luffy is that he does not care. And you know what? Even though, yes, Straw Hat Luffy is not dating the people in his crew, or with the people of his crew, he still loves them. He still cares for them. He has a relationship with them.
Right.
And he does not care what walk of life they come from, regardless of their race, regardless of their creed, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they might be in the future. He will love them for who they are.
Right. For example,
invite them on the crew. Before you talk, he even invited a zombie tree and a zombie unicorn on the crew, which I think is so silly. But I mean, he did that because he does not care about what other people are going to think. And I think that this Dignity show on Netflix highlights that too. They eventually might not care what other people think because their relationship or their connection is stronger than what society says.
Well, think about this too with One Piece, for example. Think about Whole Cake arc. You know, after everything that happened at Whole Cake arc, you know, like, Luffy could have easily said, you know, now because Sanji is like the son of whatever, you're no longer this different type of person that I wanted. But instead, he truly cared for him. You know, he had a different backstory that changed kind of a way family that Luffy didn't expect him to. You know, Luffy picked him as a person because he thought he knew his backstory, but his backstory actually kind of changed a little bit. But Luffy didn't change his mind about Sanji. You know, he fought so hard, so deeply for him to stay on the crew, you know, even fighting him in on Whole Cake, which is one of the saddest moments, I think, of the whole show, in my opinion. It was a hard episode to watch, but ultimately it kind of shows that he cares about the people, regardless, like you said, of what walk of life they come from. Like you said, he asked trees and Gaimon and other people who are basically shrubs and skeletons and zombies and feet, even for what's his face is.
I think regardless, true. I mean, what is it, Kinemon's legs. I think the one thing about Luffy, and I hate to spin it off into One Piece, but I'm kind of doing this, is that he truly is one of the most genuine characters in all anime. Like, he truly is so genuine because he sees people for face value. Like, he doesn't just, or maybe he doesn't see them for face value. He doesn't look at someone and judge them. He doesn't, sometimes he does jokingly, but he doesn't necessarily look at somebody and think they're the worst person in the world, or look at somebody and do this. Like, he's very open-minded. He very much wants to get to know the people before he deems them to be
right. He doesn't terrible. Judge a book like by its cover.
Yeah, he doesn't judge people. I mean, heck, he ends up working with a lot of those around him who at one point were villains on the show, right? Bon Clay and him turn out to be extremely close. But yet Bon Clay at one point was a villain and was not a friend of the Straw Hats. Yes, eventually they come around to being very close, and Bon Clay, like, saves the lives of many, and he's known as a hero, and him and Luffy dance and have fun and are very close. But at one point, you know, Luffy could have easily just said, I don't want to talk to you because didn't he try to fight Zoro?
I think so, yeah.
I think he tries to fight Zoro, and he's like, you try to take out my swordsmen. I don't want anything to do with you. But instead, he sits down, or he stands up, whatever ends up happening, and talks with Bon Clay. And again, they become close friends, and they understand each other after a while.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point.
And I think that goes in a lot of anime, too. Anime kind of breaks the norm. Some animes do, where you find very close connections with people that generally you wouldn't have close connections with.
Right.
Whether that be someone in a different economic standpoint, someone who is just looks different than you, someone who's like not the same as you. And I think that is very unique.
You can think about this from cool the perspective of Mashal. You can think about it from this perspective of Black Clover. You can think about it from the perspective of My Hero. You have this person who's kind of at the lowest part of the, someone who's quirkless, someone who has no magic, someone who's at the lowest basic system, like
terrible grimoire, whatever. Right.
On the social hierarchy, they're probably at the lowest of the low, but yet they make close connections with people who are richer, stronger, have more magic, have quirk. For example, All Might. You know, this kid looked up for Deku looked up to All Might for his whole life. You know, was quirkless. All Might's the most powerful, most famous person in the world, and yet they come so close, you know, because I get that that's just the purpose of the show, but you have these kind of, most shows have this kind of idea of two people multiple people that meet when they really wouldn't normally meet, you know, because of the social aspects of the show.
I think there's definitely in anime and in life, there is a yearning to just coexist. Want people to come together and coexist. Right. There's just a yearning for that, regardless of who you are. And I think some animes really represent this. And it doesn't have to be, like I said, it doesn't have to be a rom-com. It doesn't have to be a relationship. It can be a friendship. It can be a close-knit group. It can be all of these things combined. It can be a relationship. But it's always nice, I think, to see those stories where people can coexist and be close or stay strong together and not necessarily be the exact same. In fact, I think that's very powerful if people can be really different and continue to get to know each other and have a strong either relationship or friendship. We see that throughout a lot of anime. Someone is very quiet and then someone's very outspoken. And generally those two people you would think don't necessarily mix and wouldn't be friends. But a lot of times in popular culture and in movies and anime and all of these things and books, they somehow come to be friends. And I think a lot of people look at that and be like, man, I'm either one or the other.
Right.
I'm either the outspoken outspoken one who's a little bit of an extrovert, or I'm the like more of an introvert. I don't normally like to talk to other people. And maybe seeing this in popular culture can give you the guts, so to say, or give you the thought to maybe put yourself out there more, or to look for relationships or look for friendships with people who are not
maybe immediately strangers to you, right? Or something.
Yeah. Maybe to be more open to new friendships, be more open to meeting new people, be more open to being around those who not aren't necessarily others, exactly you know? Like you. Yeah, not judging others, right? I mean, we all at one point or another have judged someone before, but it's always nice to think like, man, someone is a great person, and it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter who they affiliate to. Like, they are really good people.
You can love, you can love someone regardless, you know?
Yeah. In all honesty, I think this podcast episode should honestly be titled something to do with coexisting.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that we should be looking for, is this theme of coexistence within anime and within popular culture, and that it shouldn't be something that we should run away from. It shouldn't be something that, you know, all anime characters need to be friends or need to be close with those who are just like them. And I think this also goes with real life as well. You know, you should be open to meeting new people. You should be open to thinking through the lens, or thinking through the eyes of somebody else.
Right.
Right. Or seeing through the eyes of somebody else, I guess, and thinking through the brains of someone else.
Right. Well, I think honestly that ends the podcast pretty well, to be honest. I think kind of ending on that was a really good kind of even ethical or moral kind of conversation of just not judging others, but judging others in the sense of maybe how people are judged in anime, and how maybe those things could connect to the real world. But I want to thank you guys again for watching the podcast. It's been, or listening to the podcast for the last 10 episodes. If you're one of the 200 all-time viewers, really, really appreciate your help. And hopefully we can get more and more viewers, and maybe one day we'll have 200 viewers per episode. That would be like a huge goal of mine, you know.
And also I want to thank you guys too. We can each thank you. It's been a pleasure so far. Hopefully we can continue to do this. I don't see any stopping, so we're really excited. And again, our animes don't just have, or our podcast doesn't just have to be about anime. We can also talk sometimes, we might get into some morality aspects of life that involves anime. In fact, one of the next podcasts, I hope we can discuss and talk about One Piece and its ways of being political, right? It's been a huge deal. I've seen a lot of stuff online about how some people are looking at One Piece and thinking that it's not necessarily political, when in fact it is. It truly is. And a lot of people are actually flying the One Piece flag all across the world as a sign of some sort of defiance, or it's becoming a national symbol. I actually had a discussion with this with a coworker of mine, and I would love to talk about it on the podcast, maybe even get him on. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
See if I can do that, actually.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you guys next week, hopefully either probably Thursday this week, actually, or Monday. Probably Monday next week would probably work better for both of us, but we'll kind of play it by ear, and we'll get it out as soon as possible. But thank you guys for listening, and we will talk with you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.